Hey, everybody, it's Adam Ray for the About Last Night podcast, post-Thanksgiving. Holy shit. You guys, as full as I am, I ate so much turkey and gravy. It's so good. I hope you guys enjoyed yourselves and your family, your friends, whatever you did. Hope you took some time off. I know Brad and I did. It's good to relax. Shows in Tempe were a blast this weekend. Thank you so much for coming out. Fuck, I love that club. Tempe Improv, such a blast. You guys were the best. So many ALN fans. We might have like the most in Tempe, Arizona. Because like, no joke, we're about, I don't know, I'm going to say 50 people over the whole weekend that were like, you know, said something about the pod to me after they came up me. And that was pretty rad. So thanks for all your support. Thanks for listening to the show. If you haven't told anybody to subscribe to the podcast yet, make that your news. If you haven't told anybody to subscribe to the podcast yet, do that. Do that today. Do it this week before the holidays. Tell one person, check out the About Last Night podcast and spread the love. We appreciate all your emails and tweets. The Brent Morin episode you guys really loved, which was so fun. And today's episode, you're going to love as well because our guest is the one and only Heather McDonald. That's right, baby. Heather McDonald. She's got stand-up specials. She's got books. She was a writer, producer, performer on Chelsea Lately, which, of course, the long-running panel show that helped launch the careers of so many comics. Really hasn't been anything like it since. And Heather's time on that was amazing. She shares some great stories from that experience, how she got into comedy, meeting her husband. You know, she's married with three kids. And if you want some relationship and strong, poignant female insight into the world of dating, Heather fucking has it. She's, like I told her, could listen to her talk forever. She's got so many solid opinions about so much stuff. So this is just one of those episodes where the conversation could have gone on for hours. She recently had a sexual assault case with a guy that ran her podcast network. She's no longer on that network. Kind of crazy. We definitely got into that, and it segued into some just, you know, social etiquette with men and women. And, you know, she's a strong woman, hilarious, so fun to talk to. She gave Brad some marriage advice. It was just fun all around. Again, we could have talked for hours. She'll be back for sure. Follow Heather on Twitter at Heather McDonald. Go to her website, heathermcdonald.net. She tells us why she doesn't have .com. Heathermcdonald.net for all her upcoming tour dates, books, stand-up specials. She's doing it all. And her podcast is called Juicy Scoop, which you can get on iTunes, Stitcher, Laughable, any of those podcast devices. Follow me on Twitter at Adam Ray Comedy. Follow Brad on Twitter at Funny Brad. Follow the podcast at ALN Podcast. Adam Ray 33 on Instagram. Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. This weekend I will be at the Sacramento Punchline in Sacramento, California. So pumped. Love this club. Bring in Sandy Danto and Avery Pearson to do some music. December 1st through the 4th. That's Thursday through Sunday. Sacramento Punchline in Sacramento, California. Get your tickets at punchline.com or adamraytv.com. Brad Williams will be at the Crackers in Broad Ripple, Indianapolis, Indiana this weekend, December 1st through the 3rd. Get your tickets at crackers.com. Of course, my big show in Seattle, December 23rd, 7 p.m., the Columbia City Theater. Tickets are on sale right now, adamraytv.com, Columbia City Theater, 7 p.m., Seattle, Washington, December 23rd. That's the weekend before Christmas, so everyone's hopefully going to go out and party. Come to the show. Got some surprises planned. December 23rd, Columbia City Theater, Seattle, Washington, 7 p.m. It's toymerchandise.com for all your ALN merch. Get that merch. Makes a lovely holiday gift. A hat, a shirt, a mug, a poster, stickers. Get your ALN merch. Give it to a friend. That's how you can spread the podcast love and joy. Just send a gift to somebody. Get them an ALN shirt. Who doesn't want an ALN shirt? I got very angry there. And make somebody's holiday a little more special, huh? It's toymerchandise.com for all your ALN merch. And I think that's it, all right? So many great episodes coming up. Neil Patrick Harris. We just locked in TJ Miller, Bill Bellamy. So make sure you're subscribed. Tell your friends. Tell your family. And now that we got the tour dates out of the way, those are the Twitter handles. That's the merch info. Sit back, relax, and enjoy a very special episode of the About Last Night podcast with the hilarious Heather McDonald.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. Got a midget and a Jew, so why don't What Dope Podcast. During lunch, dinner, or breakfast. Brad Williams and Adam Ray are here for you any time of the day. So come on and treat yourself right. It's about last night.
People that I spoke to that were my age and in my situation, and they were like, nah, I'd keep it. You don't want to look like a troublemaker.
See, that stuff always bothers me. Like,
yeah.
Just because everyone's like, hey, just let the person keep doing what they're doing, which is wrong. You don't want to be a troublemaker. It's like, well, the person's a troublemaker.
Yeah, and then that's why I... You know, and then when I got out of my situation, I was like, okay, I won't share the story. And then like a few months passed and I'm like, why am I protecting this awful asshole that has done this his entire life? And the thing is that I think obviously it must have worked sometime.
That's the scary part.
You know, there's definitely, it's definitely where, look at Roger Ailes. Like some people said no. And then he had that one woman, I just saw the 2020 that was like basically like his sex slave for like 20 years. And she still had to work there.
Yeah.
Like if you're going to suck a dick, you still have to do the work in the cubicle. Like, are you fucking kidding? Like, does anything get worse?
Right. You should be able to walk in and just be like feet up on the desk, plasma screen and be like, I ain't doing any work today. Why? I don't know. I sucked the CEO's dick. Yeah. So I'm good now.
No, like, you still have to do the data entry. Like,
data entry.
Whatever it is. Like, could anything be worse?
Yeah. That's horrible. And I'm so glad that people like you are speaking up. It's so great. And
I mean, you had to have had.
I mean, honestly, I'm like, don't fuck with a bitch with a podcast. But this podcast has like changed my life doing my podcast, Juicy Scoop.
Yeah, well, Juicy Scoop. Get on iTunes. Amazing podcast.
When I had something happen. Well, I decided January of last year, around January, I think it was. I'm not really sure when it was. No, a couple of months later after that. Like somewhere around the spring.
Oh, boy. We'll edit this part
whatever.
Out.
Who cares? I decided that there was like one story I had never shared in my life, not in my books, not in my stand-up. Mm-hmm. And it's a pretty fucking juicy story, but it takes about 3 hours to tell. And that is about my sister and really how abusive, verbally abusive, and somewhat other ways abusive she's been in my life. Mm-hmm. And
to you.
To me, yeah. And I've had restraining orders and stuff. And it's, but it takes, so I was like, you know, one day I was like, you know what? She's always was, you know, telling people, you know, within our people that we knew and threatening that she was, you know, going to say these awful lies about my husband and I. And I was like, you know what? I'm not big enough that she can like sell a story to In Touch right now, but I'm like, I'm going to put it out there. So then when this shit starts up again,
right,
people will have known my story.
Yeah.
And so I told the story and I called it, the segment is called Serial Sister. And I did like 10, 15 minutes every episode 35 to 51. And I changed her name. She has a different last name, and I changed her first name.
Sure.
And I even had super fans come that have said, I've tried to find her, and I can't, which makes me feel better that they can't find her.
Right. Well, because you're trying to get it out there to sort of prevent her from attacking you, but at the same time, you don't want people like showing up at her house
nothing like that. I was just like, here's my story. And
you can tighten those, by the way.
Can I tighten it? I'm trying. Oh, I got it. Okay, hold on. Oh, there we go. Perfect. Okay, so.
You're the third person to struggle with those, by the way.
Well, I'm not.
Hey, Bose, if you're listening. You know, no, noise canceling, but not stupid proof.
Anything I can't do, my husband says user error. So I would probably say it's not Bose's fault. Okay. It's usually my fault.
Fair enough.
Yes.
In that case, we would love you as a sponsor, Bose.
Yes, definitely.
Come on, please.
It's user error. It's just, right. So then just this past weekend, I had a Serial Sister update. Her nephew said he was going to bring 16 people to my show and start heckling me.
Holy
out of
shit.
Nowhere. I hadn't talked to him in like a year.
By the way, that's a very specific entourage of hate. 16 people.
First of all, I was like, thanks for selling 16 tickets.
I get a door deal. Again, so
exactly.
That's some money
He's
in my pocket.
He's only 30, so I'm like, thanks, millennials. Like, I mean, I do get a lot of millennials at my show, but I'm like, they usually are people that are really into me and we're going to waste their time heckling. But then I was like, it made me so nervous and stressful, and people had seen he had texted me, and then I'd seen, he had posted on Facebook, and then my serial sister, his mother, who I have a restraining order against, which actually she's violating the restraining order by doing that. But I'm like, who cares? I'll just talk about it on my podcast. So, and then these freaking bitches that have been her friends since high school that have always like, because she's 6 years older than me, always like, God, Heather, so jealous of Kath. Oh, I almost their name. Heather, so jealous of Katrina. And I just see these same old bitches. And like one is like a substance abuse counselor. And I'm like, really? And she's calling me a piece of shit. And that I was a horrible daughter. And that my husband is, that my marriage is failing. And all this stuff. And I'm like.
Well, I mean, she knows. She's on the inside.
Yes, exactly. So I was like, oh, you know
she
what?
She sees it.
Where do you, I mean, does, were you guys buddies growing up? Like,
yes, we were. No, we, it was. It's like really interesting because when I've told the story, I've gotten so many people coming up to me, writing me or whatever, and they go, I have a serial sister, I have a serial brother, I have a serial, like someone that's just, and a lot of it is coming from a large family. Like I'm the youngest of five, we're Irish Catholics. And when that happens and you are basically kind of abused by your sibling verbally or whatever, you know, as adults, the parents like force you to keep hanging out. Like, they guilt you. Like, I didn't want her in my wedding. And my mom's like, please, you have to have her in her wedding. She'll make her life a living hell. Because she would call them and leave all these messages and say awful things. Or she'd keep her children from seeing them. And so it was just a constant where you're almost like living with a terrorist. Yeah. Like, you're always like, oh, let's not piss her off. And,
and then there can be emotional terrorists, by the way.
Yes. And so then when I finally...
Great name for a special.
Yeah. Then so she did awful things at my wedding. Then I had my son. And she screwed up my birth, like my son. She like left her child there. And then so my friend couldn't be there. So then I like didn't have my birth coach. Like my friend had to watch her 4 year old, just shit like that.
God.
So then the final thing was when the cops were called at my son's first birthday. And then I said,
because he was drinking too much?
No, because she was freaking out and wanted something that she'd given me like 2 years prior.
Oh my God.
And I said, you know what? My kids aren't going to live like I lived. And that was it. And then I got, that was when I got the first of the three restraining orders.
Is it a big process? Because like there's some people
to
in
get a restraining
order.
Yes.
My Aunt Shirley, 88, calls me all the time to ask if I'm okay. And I'm like, bitch, I'm kind of done with you.
Oh, really?
I'm joking.
Oh. I was like, tell me that story. Tell me about the
88-year-old.
No, she's the sweetest lady of all time. Well, it, that it, seems like a big
No, it isn't. It is decision. A real, it's a big process to get a restraining order. They make it difficult. They don't want to just give them out, you know? But you, so you have to prove that, like, you... This person is harassing you, that you gave them several chances.
Right.
The chances seems like the big...
like to say, hey, like I would write... I did write, remember I wrote a letter and I... It was like, there's no way you could reason with her. Like I'd write a letter and I'd say, hey, look, you know, please stop calling me. We don't get along. Like, let's just take a real break from each other.
Let's just end it. We don't have to be
friends. And then she would like take one sentence out of there and be like, how dare you say that about me? And I was like, oh my God. And then it would start all up again. So there was nothing I could do or say. Like it was just constant.
Very one-sided.
And then after the final thing, I found out from people in my life that it's really been like she and her husband and that side of her family have really been like freaking against me ever since I went to USC. I'm not kidding.
Well,
like,
I mean,
it's like constant, like there were ups and
downs. We are just better than everyone. You have three charges in the room right now.
Oh, we do have three charges?
Yeah.
Shit. That's right.
Yeah. Man, we beat the fuck out of UCLA. That's right.
I mean, there's a lot to hate, I guess. We are kind of fabulous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I
so yeah,
it
don't
really
worry.
Started
you're,
then.
You're amongst friends.
It kind of started then. There were years where it wasn't, but yeah, it was fine when I was in high school.
One thing I'm always
and I don't know that it was like constant, like because it was expensive or something.
Yeah,
that they were like pissed that my parents were paying for it, yet my parents paid for Santa Clara, which is basically the same price.
Yeah, a good
then,
school.
Yeah,
it's,
and then
it's like it's not like San, you know, Santa Clara is horrible.
No, it's the same. It's like it's like maybe a little bit cheaper, but it's the same private thing. And then the same thing happened with then my sister got it. My other sister, my normal sister Shannon, she got a Toyota Celica, and then I 2 years later got my Toyota Celica, and it was like that fucking Toyota Celica was brought up so much. Ugh. That finally, like once I was married and I gave it back to my parents and stuff, my dad was like, it broke down. I'm like, just fucking crush it. Just crush it.
Take a Molotov cocktail
God,
and
like,
just chuck it in the middle
of it. Crush that car. It's caused so many problems in our family.
God.
Like just get rid of it.
Yeah, and it's one thing I noticed in a lot of these situations, which might be true with this bad sister of yours, but if you're in a situation where you go, my sister, she's a bitch, and my brother, well, he's an asshole, and then the person at my work, she's a cunt, and then all of my teachers hated me growing up. What's the constant here?
You are the common denominator.
What is always in these scenarios? Why is everyone against you, or are you an asshole?
Right.
Like that's what you kind of, if you get along with everyone, if you don't really have a lot of enemies, if you have one person that maybe hates you, then you go, okay, I'm doing okay. But when, if it's this constant barrage of you blaming others and just projecting shit onto people and having difficult relationships, maybe it's you.
Or when someone, like, bad stuff keeps happening to them, it's like, well, if you're out at 3 a.m. and you're wasted, you might get hit by a car. like there's things like, oh, that person has such bad luck. And it's like, well, you kind of do. If you're hanging around awful people, there's a good chance they might steal from you.
Every time he goes to do a drug deal, it goes wrong.
So, I mean, this amount of family stuff, I mean, did you, it's almost like you had to be a comedian because there's like, where's my outlet to...
Well, this is the crazy stuff. The latest onslaught of like social media hate was me. Supposedly, I'd stolen all of her material. That's why I'm funny. I'm like, from what, your HBO special that I don't know? She's never done one day stand up. She's not a writer. So a couple of people were like,
those are the best friends.
You know, your aunt did write like 2 bestsellers and like, I think she's doing okay. No, she hasn't gotten a job since Chelsea lately. She's a loser. I'm like, yeah, but I sold out 600 tickets in DC. So for one night, like, I don't think it's that bad. Okay, whatever, you know.
That'd be like me hitting up Wolfgang Puck. I've cooked like 9 things in my life. And I'll tell you what, 7 of them were pretty dope because I put a lot of time and effort. The other two, I was like, whatever. But if that'd be like me hitting up Wolfgang Puck on Twitter and being like, you stole all my recipes.
Yeah.
It's weird.
That's
crazy. Like, yeah.
And people like, and you stole my material. It's like, what material?
Yeah.
If you're a comic, or a writer,
sure.
An author, an artist, songwriter, great. Okay. Maybe that you have a case. But did I steal your best accounting story?
Yeah. Like, I mean, that's the thing. I'm like, my act is about my husband, our marriage, our 2 sons,
you're very personal,
my stepdaughter. So I'm like, I don't see how I stole your material, but I mean, that's what's so crazy. And then my friend goes, well, was she funny? I go, yeah, we were all funny. Like, both my parents were funny. The siblings are funny. I'm just the only one that, like, actually bothered to do anything with it.
Yeah.
And, like, so went to school and went to the Groundlings and, like, got into the Writers Guild and, like, pursued it.
Yeah.
So could you have, if you'd done everything I'd done, could she have been a comedian? Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
If she had taken
But if you never pursue it.
Now, how are you funny, like, in the dynamic of the family? Like, I'm always curious when people have funny parents. Because, like, I didn't see that my parents were funny until I grew up and saw them as people and not as parents. And I was like, oh, this is where I get it from. You're both very dry. You're very, like, subtle. Like, I mean, my dad texts me now, like, every other day with just things that he sees on shows or articles that he thinks I would find funny or could use for material. And it's like, oh, these guys have very sharp point of views. I just was always looking at them as parents. So you looked at them as funny people early on.
Like, I remember watching I Love Lucy and my sister and I being like, she's like mom. Like, we knew she was, funny. Wow. And they were very charismatic people and they were in advertising and then later on real estate. So they were like my dad would say, oh, your mom always, you know, is the most charming at a cocktail party. Like, they just knew how to tell stories. My mom was a writer. So they were funny. They just were good storytellers. Yeah. They were funny. It's like that. So, yeah.
Like, and at then, holidays too?
Yeah. I mean, no, there was a lot of horrible yelling and fighting. Like, I mean, you know, it's, you know, a lot of drinking and yelling.
Yeah. Can I be honest? I always wanted that family dinner. I never got that. We had to go to, like, other people's, like, Passover Seders and see them get fucked up and then, like, maybe have some drinks with them and kind of, like, to be a part of it, but, like, never really had a full-on drunk family holiday.
Oh, man. They're like,
I just seen them on TV shows.
They're
and movies.
Magical and sad. They're they're just a whirlwind of emotions.
Yeah.
I don't know about you. I was never involved in my family's. Like, I was I would be able to sit back and kind of go, all right, let's see what develops here.
Yeah.
And just kind of provide.
Just tossing a nugget to keep the conversation moving.
Who
are you guys voting for?
I'm definitely that guy. Like, I know this Thanksgiving, I'm just walk by the table and go, Donald Trump, and then just run out of the room.
Oh,
and then
my
just,
God.
And then just watch what happens.
Just throw a fucking conversation grenade.
It's like, alt-right's moving in the White House. Run away. Yeah. Like, it's going to be fun.
Oh, my God. Yikes. You know, my son, I was so impressed. He totally... this poor kid, he just is getting so bullied because he was a Trump supporter at a Catholic school in L.A. Mm-hmm. And kids are coming up to him like, you're a racist. And it's like, it's just bullshit. Like,
Also, how old's your kid?
Well, my son is eighth grade and he was defending his friend, who's his friend's brother, who was in sixth grade.
Okay.
Who would wear the hat at lunch. And I was like, you have a right. You know, I'm so impressed that this kid wasn't swayed.
Yeah.
He wanted had his own. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, you know what? And then to hear that my son was like, no, he's like, no, I defend him. And my son's over 6 feet tall and pretty strapping. And
eighth grade?
Doesn't give a shit.
Holy crap.
I mean, does not give a shit. So I
love it.
Well,
sure, you're 6 feet tall in eighth grade.
I know. Yeah. But
why would he give a shit about anything?
He's always kind of been like that. Like, he doesn't, you know, like he just has this good confidence. Like, mm-hmm. you know, so... But I just think it's like ridiculous now. Stop it.
Well,
don't be mean to people.
But
also stay off social media. But then
completely.
But then when the kids are mean to each other, either way, it just is shitty.
I mean, you see some of those videos that are going on at school and like lunchrooms and like, you know, chanting like build that wall and just like the verbal abuse. Like, I mean, it's tough enough to try to like figure shit out in middle school and high school.
Right.
And then you add that on top of it. Like, ugh.
And again, it's never. I don't think it's ever been like that. Because in the past, it's always been like, ugh, okay, whatever.
Nobody was like, oh, you like Clinton? Oh, what are you? Yeah. We don't have enough jobs. It's like, what?
Well, yeah. Like, it's just exactly. Like, yeah, it was very.
It wasn't like this for Romney Obama. No one was like, hey, I'm voting for Mitt Romney. Fascist! That kind of stuff wasn't happening.
I think it was.
Or at least, to this degree.
Right. But it did happen because. Well, definitely in 2008 because gay marriage was not legal.
Right.
So if you weren't voting for Obama, then people saw that they would assume you're a racist or against gay marriage.
Yep.
So then once that was like taken off the table, I was like, oh, good. This is going to be a much better situation for everybody. And then it was like the worst ever. Yeah. The worst ever. I was like, oh.
Well, we don't still know what's going to happen because he's not in yet. But, you know.
Fingers crossed.
Definitely lining up a bunch of all-stars.
I don't know. I have a 10-year-old son, so I was talking to my sister, and she like believes everything. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to D.C., and I'm texting with Melania to see if we can get Brandon, my son, and Baron together just to hang out. And she's like, are you serious? Like, she assumed because I know some people that like, and so then I even said to myself, I go, hey, Brandon, do you want to hang out with Baron Trump? And he's like, yeah, okay, yeah, set it up. Like, he's like...
Set up a coffee date.
Yeah. Like, set it up.
We'll talk about stuff.
Yeah. I mean, go over to one of the golf courses and just hang out.
Now, you do talk about your family a lot in your act. Like, are they cool with it? Do they know what you talk about?
Yeah.
My husband is 100% cool with whatever I say.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll sit in the audience and laugh. And people are like, shocked a little bit.
That's huge, right? That is not like that's. I don't want to say.
I don't think a lot of people have spouses that are that.
Is that that supportive and easygoing? Hell no.
Yeah.
Well, that's where my son got that. I don't give a shit, gene.
Dope.
And really doesn't like really not sensitive at all. Like if I would ever get sensitive about something, my husband would be like, "What are you doing? Like you're a comedian." I'm like, "Well, I'm still a girl. Like, can you be nice to me? Like, if someone's being mean to me, can you just like care a little?" But I do think. It's great for me because there's never been anything that he's like, don't mention that or don't talk about that. The kids, I don't let the kids see my stand-up because I think until they're older.
You want to be moms still, right?
Yeah, I think they might get hurt by how I talk about them a lot.
Oh, really?
Well, and...
It's dirty, so I would say not right now.
Yeah. I mean, do you ever get scared in terms of like what even if they watch it later? Like, even if you're like, even if they watch it later, you'll be like, oh God, this is going to scar them.
No, I mean, I did a little bit, but now I was worried about my younger son, but now he is starting, his personality is really coming through also because we took him off ADHD drugs.
Nice.
So now he's failing school, but he's fucking hilarious.
You know what? I support that move so hard.
All of us do.
I'm like, in this life, you probably, hopefully, will work in the business. I'd rather you be funny than like be and pleasing this teacher.
And
like,
who you are.
Possibly you won't graduate from high school till you're 20, but who gives a shit?
Look, there's enough people trying to be doctors and lawyers, I think. I say that not knowing totally what the millennials are trying to do. And I feel like it's not.
But
I feel like we need, like, anytime we can get somebody who's got naturally funny genes to, like, come to this side, hell yeah.
Yeah, so I think, so now I don't. Now I think they'll get it. Because they make fun of me, too. Like, it's like I have three husbands now. Like, they're all the same, and they're all making fun of me. And they're all like, you know, if I do anything wrong, they're like, you know, knucklehead. Like, everyone calls each other knucklehead. And I'm just like, you guys are, like, seriously bullying me.
Wait, but, so it's husband and two boys.
And my two boys, and then my stepdaughter who's 17, and she's just really quiet and sweet, and hates us, like doesn't want to come out of the room.
Yeah, I was gonna say 17-year-old high school girl. That's a real insecure.
I mean, she's sweet. She's sweet to me, but she's just like very quiet. She's the total opposite of me.
Like, you try to go out of your way to really like. I mean, that's a tough relationship too. I mean, I had I mean, I just remember the first time I met my stepdad, and it was just like, they want so badly right away to be like, can we fucking be friends? And like,
how old were you when you met him?
About 6 days ago. And my folks split when I was 9, and then my mom remarried when I was 8. No, 20? 19, 20.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So that's it was an good adult, but it was still like...
Weird. Yeah.
It's never not weird. I mean, maybe if...
Well, my daughter was so young. That's why I call her my daughter, and she calls me mom. It's like she was so young that she never knew her parents together.
Right.
So, and then people were always freaked out that she would call me mom. And I'm like, you know, kids, and sometimes... You know, if someone was breaking up and they're like, if my child ever calls the new girlfriend mom or whatever. And I said, I know it like hurts you, but honestly, they do it because it feels natural. Like the mom figures hang out with them.
Yeah.
And then, especially my daughter being so young, but even if a child kind of does it at like 5 or something, it's because it's like they're on the playground and it like comes out.
Right.
Like mom or dad, even though it's the stepdad or the stepmom. And they know that you're not their mom, but it's like...
Yeah, it's weird it's weird if you yell across the playground, Angie!
Yeah.
like, that's just okay. Yeah. It's not quite...
But people always get really like, she calls you mom. Oh my God. You know what I'm like? It's okay. You know, it's all right.
Yeah.
Because, and if that happens with your kids, like just know that, you know, it's just what makes them. It's like a kid whose parents, I remember my husband, his dad came from Czechoslovakia and had a really strong accent. And some of his cousins like didn't want to speak. The parents were trying to make them speak Czech and they didn't want to learn it. And then I like read in sociology class, like kids want to be like everybody else. They don't want to.
They don't want to be the one that stands out necessarily.
They don't necessarily want to. I mean, it's like, it's the same type of thing. You know, they just want to feel like it's like what their situation is normal.
Was she at least pumped? Like, I mean, you being on Chelsea, I mean, was she, I mean, that's, girls were the biggest fan of that show, right? I mean, like,
They would watch some Chelsea sketches and stuff. They didn't like the panel part because they were younger, so they're like, it's boring that you're talking. But if we did like a sketch, they like
that you're talking on television.
But they'd like a, you know, they'd like a sketch, and they were, you know, kind of excited about it. Now, like, I had a part in White Chicks, which I wrote with the Wayans brothers. So now they're starting to watch White Chicks, and so now kids are like, now the kids will recognize me from that one scene, even, which is like kind of cool.
By the way, I had no idea. That's one of my favorite movies.
Thank you.
Bananas to me.
I mean, they came up with the concept. I helped them for several weeks.
You were like their white chick consultant.
Exactly. I was helping with
this. This is what we do.
Yes.
So like when
they're
like,
Marlon Wayans didn't know.
Yeah. When
they had a pretty good idea, but I helped sharpen it.
What song should we sing in the car? You're like, Vanessa Carlton, 1,000 Miles. Trust me on this.
You know, and then I remember one night we went out. Because I was like, all right, Sean, you know, he's like, I want to go out with you and your girlfriends dancing and stuff. So we go to like Mr. Chow's or something, and then we go to some nightclub, and the Beyonce song came on. And I was like, and I told him already, like, this is a song you have to have when they have the dance off.
Mm-hmm.
And like, he just sat back and like watched all of my girlfriends and I dancing. And so that was that scene where they like the Beyonce.
Yeah, amazing.
It's so good. Whenever it comes on, I'm like, oh, this was so.
Fun? I mean, good time of life?
It was really fun. And it's like so, it's so ridiculous, but it's like still hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
It's tough. I want them to bring it back. I want them to do it again. But I mean, God, the makeup, I don't know that they'd ever want to do.
Yeah, what was that like? Were you on set all the time?
I mean, I was there for just like a week to do my part. But no, I mean, and it was Canada and they were producers. So I don't think they like followed the rules of like how much sleep you're supposed to have. Wow. So, I mean, it was like they would have like a call time at like 2 a.m. and then they'd finish filming at like 11 p.m. I mean, it was really awful. And then to stand, you know, be like,
yeah, they gotta be still. Because you have to be still alert in that makeup chair.
I think that was like the worst part of it.
I want to go into this more, but right now we're going to stop the Facebook Live. We have been Facebook Living, but Facebook Live people, if you want to get the whole story, subscribe to the podcast, let's do it on iTunes. So see you Facebook Live people. All right, but how did your relationship with the Wayans brothers even start?
Did they accuse you of stealing material?
Yes,
online
they did. They said you got all of my good material. No, Keenan had a late night talk show for like a year.
Yeah
and my manager at the time said, would you want to write for a TV show? And I said, oh, you know, and I was like in my 20s. And I thought I was going out for like pilots and stuff that I was never getting. And I go, well, what does it pay? And he's like, it's Writer's Girl. He told me how much it paid. And I was like, yes, yes. Like I had credit card debt. And so a lot of people I knew had gotten the job, but he would like fire people right away. Mm. Like within days, he's just like, that's not for me. And if you got fired like that, then you'd get paid for 13 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, if I get this job and then get fired after 3 days.
Perfect.
How freaking great would that
yeah.
be?
13 yes. weeks of money for 3 days of work? Great.
So I got the job and I was very excited. And but I mean, I didn't know never worked on a show before. Didn't really know. Also didn't know like what a great opportunity it is to join Writers Guild at like 27 years old. So I was pretty excited. But it was like hard and like people were really kind of mean. Like I felt like I'd been in private school my whole life. So I was like, this is what it's like to go to public school. Like it felt like kind of hard and bullying. And like I just was like.
Boys club?
Well, there was one woman who I'm still friends with, Allison Faust, who's an amazing writer. And she was sweet to me. She was very nice. But no, the rest were men. Mm-hmm. And so it was just like difficult and weird. And like, whoever was deciding, it's like you couldn't leave ever. Like, it was just like, it was a lot of late nights. So I was like, okay,
no one wants to be the first one to leave.
Yeah, but that's why you have to set those rules. Yeah. You have to like to say, hey, I'm leaving when you don't need me. But right. I said, so I was like, okay, well, I'll probably get fired.
Yeah.
You know, and then I can just get the... And then they're like, no, he's fired too many people. They're not letting him fire people anymore. So
shockingly, the movie studio doesn't like to pay 22 writers that are no longer working for them. Shockingly.
Yeah. But I mean, it was a cool experience. So then, and then after that, I kind of would like a little bit keep in touch over little things. And then... one of the writers, they were starting to write actually like the third Scary Movie they were going to do. And it was going to be kind of a parody of Signs. And then we worked on all of that. And then there was this deal where they were already like the other people that broke off from them or something had written that. So they were not part of the Scary Movie franchise anymore.
Okay.
So they did Scary Movie 1 and 2 and then
because like
they got
Charlie
like screwed
Sheen.
Over somehow.
Yeah. Charlie Sheen was in Scary Movie 3.
Like, yeah, so they had nothing to do with Scary Movie 3, but they were going to make their own parody of like Signs. And then they found out that that's what was Scary Movie 3 going to be. So they're like, screw it. They're like, we already sold this other movie. And I was like, what is it? And it was White Chicks. And I was like, oh my God, please let me work on that. Like that I can.
That's right in my wheelhouse. I don't know if you know this, Wayans Brothers, but I am a white chick.
Yeah, I got both those bases covered.
Yeah.
So then that was really fun.
Hey, Brad.
What's going on, Adam?
I got some exciting news.
Holy crap, they're making a Mighty Ducks 4?
No, but now I'm just really upset that they're not.
Oh, they should.
Brad and I are back doing exclusive episodes of the About Last Night podcast on TuneIn.
That's right. And these are episodes with just Adam and myself. No guests, just us hanging out, shooting the shit, updating you on our lives, and being, and most importantly, being funny.
Yeah, the OG way, the way this podcast got started. We took a little break, but we are back doing exclusive episodes, just Brad and Adam. And you can get these episodes where, Brad?
You can get these exclusive episodes on the TuneIn app. That's Woo! Right. Just download the TuneIn app. TuneIn spelled T-U.
T-U.
T-U what? T-U-N-E-I-N. Download that TuneIn app. Type in About Last Night, and you can get these exclusive episodes. And remember, they're only on TuneIn. They are not available on iTunes, our website, or anywhere else. Just TuneIn.
That's why it's special. That's why it's exclusive. Continue to enjoy this amazing episode with me, Adam Ray.
And me, Brad Williams.
How much writing had you done prior to that?
I mean, just working on a couple TV shows and things. I sold some pilots about myself.
Nice.
Pretty much that's what I write about myself.
Yeah, but that's what you're supposed to. I mean,
yeah,
it's the subject
that
you know the most
that,
about.
That, like, didn't go, but yeah. So
I feel like you found out who Heather McDonald was pretty early on, yeah? Like, you have one of the sharpest point of views and just most self-assured, like, total persona that I've ever come in contact with.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
And that's why your podcast is so fun to listen to, because you just, like, you just, any topic, you have something to say about, which is, like, easier said than done. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thank you. I love doing the podcast, and it's kind of a surprise how much I thought, when I started to do it, I just thought, well, I'll just do this so I have something to do on Mondays and feel productive. And then I was very surprised how, I was like scared to ask about my numbers for months. I was like, is anyone listening? Because it didn't really reflect on my social media.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a lot of people listen religiously, but they don't follow you. They never write you. So then you're sort of surprised. You're like, oh my God, all these people are listening. This is amazing.
We've definitely had instances like that on this podcast where we're like, well, tweet us.
Yeah.
Let us know that you liked it. Yeah.
God,
let us know.
And it's like, it means so much when you get like a face-to-face person after a show that's like, I listen, and you're like, oh, what are you like about it? Like, I feel like finally I'm getting some sort of, like,
I just want to hug
feedback.
All of them.
Yeah.
I just started my Facebook page today. I'm doing like a Facebook group page, like Juicy Scoop Obsessed, because after my show at DC, all these girls and some guys, like, were so into it that we went to a bar and they were like talking about episode after episode. And like, and I was like, I thought, God, you know, people could probably make friends or something. Like, why not get together and
sure.
into the same shit that I'm into.
And it's the podcast, once again, is called Juicy Scoop. And I'd say it's a pop culture podcast.
Yeah, it's just like basically
pop culture
anything,
commentary.
Yeah, anything juicy. So if I'm into, like, if there's a juicy strip, Brad and Angelina breaking up, you know, anything about that is juicy. I like Bravo shows, Housewives, Vanderpump Rules, stuff like that. Things in the news, you know. And then because of like my own things, I started Serial Sister. So I have people tell me their Serial Sister stories.
Or, sure.
But then also Serial Dater. So I get like great dating stories about like assholes.
Like,
we've caught a couple assholes. Like my friend started dating this guy. And she told me about him. I thought he sounded like a delight too. I thought he sounded like a cute divorced dad. He liked a paddleboard. And I saw a picture of him.
Strong.
And I said, oh, Tara's dating a bona fide babe. Okay, now he turned out to be a nightmare. So now my husband will bring that up all the time. What about you and your bona fide babe? I'm like, he still was a babe. He's a sociopath, but he still was a babe.
We should have saw paddleboarding as a red flag.
No. So then she, anyway, she starts dating him. She lent him money, supposedly lent him this money for 4 days. Mm-hmm. Once she told me, I was like, girl, why would he ask you, someone he's dated for only a few weeks, for $3,000?
Oh,
I have a shit ton of credit cards. Anyone can get $3,000 off a credit card.
Yeah.
And if you can't do that and you don't have anyone closer that you can ask than the girl you've been dating that you're trying to impress, I'm like, that's a horrible sign, even to float you during tax season. So then she's like, shit, you know. Then
why didn't she see the signs?
Because he's a bona fide babe and he likes paddleboarding, Adam.
Oh, fine.
Yeah, I mean, that's a thing. And then when that happens, she's so
I like the guy.
Embarrassed. You know, she was so embarrassed.
Of course.
And I was like, don't be. Like, you believed him.
Yes,
and why should you not believe this guy that was really nice and great?
Better to have loved than lost.
Had the cute kids and everything. But I'm like, well, we're going to fucking get your money back, okay? So then she finds out through friends and social media that he has done something similar to this
to other girls.
To like four girls. They all meet. He was dating them all at the same time.
He's like Ed McMahon, but he goes and takes the
they
big check.
They all came on the podcast.
No shit.
Yes. Yes. Wait, they're all still friends.
Wasn't this the plot of that Judd Apatow movie or something?
Basically, but mine was like, juicier.
Yeah, with like Kate Upton and Leslie Mann and Cameron Diaz.
And he had two mistresses.
Yeah.
Yes.
This was like, this is the plot of that movie.
Holy shit. But, so that episode is out.
Yeah, that one's out. That's Serial Dater, I think, is like episode.
Did they?
I can't remember what number it is.
Did they call him out?
All the descriptions.
Did they call him out like by name or something?
Okay, so they were terrified. Yeah. Okay, and very worried. So they wouldn't let me call him out. I just said he's a divorced dad. He lives in Manhattan Beach and he paddleboards a lot.
All right, that could be like only 400 guys. But
so then, okay, so I go, my dream is that I'm going to put this out, and when he's living back home, because he was being evicted from his place. He lived in a place that he paid $6,500 a month for, except he never paid the rent. Did you ever see the movie Pacific Heights with Michael Keaton?
No.
Oh, it's so fucking good.
Okay.
It's basically like a cute guy that looks nice.
Yeah.
Swindles his way into a nice place and then is a nightmare and like never pays. Okay. And so basically this guy, and he's also like head of like Little League in the town, and also did some charity, like
model
some,
citizen,
some type of charity for like some law thing.
Paddleboard,
but he wasn't a lawyer. It was like crazy. So he eventually got evicted.
Paddles
from that place,
without borders.
Yeah. But he owed that guy that he rented the house from like probably $50,000.
Wow.
So they evict him finally, and and so I was like, God, this guy is just a piece of work. I'm like, well, hopefully when he has to go back and live with his mother, you know, he'll be hitting on some. And he went for like attractive divorced women with money. That was definitely
sure, because they're that sort of not. I don't want to say desperate, but those women, they're looking. Heartbroken. They're looking.
And a guy knows how to do that. To be like so super into you right away.
Absolutely.
And charming. So then so I thought, hopefully he'll be hitting on some woman, and that woman will go home and tell her friend, and the friend will be like, holy shit, I listened to Juicy Scoop. Does this guy fucking paddleboard? Okay, that's what I was hoping would happen. Okay.
Which is a question any woman should ask about a man.
He's a paddleboard Peter.
Yeah. And then that didn't happen, but something close. I wake up at like 7 a.m., and I check my email that people can write to, which is therealheathermcdonald@gmail.com, and that someone said, I think I'm dealing with a serial. Well, I called him fucktard on the show. So she goes, I think I know fucktard, and I'm a victim too, or whatever. And basically, he owed her $3,300.
Yikes.
She lived in Seattle. He would tell the same lies to everybody, which was, God, shit. My son just took my car, and he's all the way almost in Beverly Hills, and my wallet was in there. I've got a client dinner. Could you float me like $300? So there's a lot of people that just lent him a little bit of money.
Yeah.
And then once they get that money, then you'd be sort of then you'd be like, well, yeah, is he going to pay me back? Or sometimes you'd ask or not. And then, but then he would sort of test them. Like this one girl lived in like a $3 million house, like on the Strand. And he came over one night when they're dating, and while he's dating the three other women. And he's like, oh my God, I don't know. I'm in this financial mess, and I have these two kids, and my ex-wife took me for everything. Meanwhile, the ex-wife hadn't seen a dime from him. She's like a teacher and like could not get away from him faster. And she's like, how much do you need? And he's like $50,000. Like he would just try.
That
girl was smart enough not to give it.
Right.
But I think you'd look around and you're like, okay, this chick will give me $300 and never ask. She'll be embarrassed. This one will give me $3,000 and be embarrassed. And then he'd like kind of threaten them like, you're crazy. You better not talk about me. So anyway, I said, how? She goes, I just listened to the podcast. And I go, how did you find out about the podcast? She goes, he sent it to me. He said, look at what these horrible women are doing to me. Like, he's such a narcissist. He actually got off on the fact that we were talking about him. And he's so crazy. He didn't realize that by sending to her, she would never talk to him again.
Wow. What? That's a level of narcissism that I'm... it's like, look at all these women saying I have herpes.
Yes. They're look at all crazy.
These crazy bitches.
You have herpes? I don't know, but they're talking about me.
Yeah.
So... then,
by the way, could you loan me $3,000?
Yeah, for the herpes.
So he would do that to her. He'd be like, he'd call her in Seattle or wherever she was. And I think it was Seattle or Portland, I can't remember. He'd call her and be like, oh my God, my son took my car, my wallet's in there. He would do it to people on the baseball team and just get like $20 or $40 from the kids and their parents.
You know,
and then not pay it back.
Wow.
So I was so sick of this piece of shit. So then the final one is some girl goes, people would go, is this, people would send me pictures. Is this fucktard? Is this fucktard? They were scared they might be dating. I'm
like,
no, that's not him. That's not him.
Have you seen this fucktard?
Yeah. So then this one girl sends me this post from his Facebook page, and he's getting an award, and he's like,
fucktard of the year.
Yeah, and somebody who's writing like, wow, you'll finally have some time to yourself. He's like, yeah, finally. Meanwhile, he hasn't worked in a year and he's just paddleboarding around.
Oh my God.
And so I'm like, you know what? Screw this asshole for still having a fucking public Facebook page. So I screenshot it and I'm like, this is fucktard. And his name is Kirk Obermeyer and he's still paddleboarding around the South Bay. Do not date him, divorced ladies, single ladies, whoever you are.
Good for you.
He does not have a pot to piss in and he will steal from you. He did like fraud things. Like he took people's credit cards.
Damn.
Yeah.
How do you? Wow.
I mean,
first of all,
yeah.
Good for you.
So happy. That's why I said don't fuck with a bitch with a podcast.
Yeah.
Now I don't care. I
mean, well, because kind of
I will say whatever.
You have this. You have this outlet.
I will just say the truth. So I'm not a liar. I'm not. And if it happens, I'm going to tell it. I had to convince them though, and I kept saying, "Why are you keeping the secrets of someone who really wronged you?" And it was amazing because then I had Sarah Tiana and she had an amazing story.
Oh, hers is amazing. Hers,
so
I've heard it.
Yeah, so people said, you guys. So she came on and she told me, and she says his name out loud. And she goes, what's great now is if you Google his name, I come up. So that was one of the last things she said to him when he was threatening her, like, oh, I'm going to sue you and this and that. And she goes, please go. She goes, nothing would make me happier than to be on a stand in front of a bunch of people and saying, yeah, this guy said this and this and this. He has 8 children with 8 different women. He didn't take any money from her. He just was a liar. You know, he's just a horrible liar that was cheating and saying things that weren't true and just fucking with people's hearts. And
her,
it's like, what
nuts.
Is wrong with you? You know,
does, I mean, I get,
and he was in special forces. So now serial special forces will be my new,
I mean, you should consider being some sort of PI. Cause that's some serious detective crime dog McGruff.
I didn't really do the researching. They
you
did
like
the researching
send it out to
and
your
then
people.
I just put it out there.
Well, and that's like for all the criticism that social media gets, and partly rightly so, this is one of the good things.
The best.
This is one of the good things that it does is that
warning people.
Yes,
too.
And it allows people where these people can go. Before, they would just fly under the radar, and no one would know about them. Now we can kind of be like, "Hey, this is happening now."
Yeah,
warn people about it. My favorite Instagram account is By Felipe, and it's just women. That just like it's called By Felipe. It's on women like go on Tinder and guys like go like, hey, send me a tit pic, and then like their first comment, and they go, no, just met you, and then they like the guys will call him a raving cunt or whatever, or like send him dick pics. So then they go, great, and then they screenshot it, send it to By Felipe, and then By Felipe shows the guy's name and goes, hey, this is one of these guys out there.
Wow,
which I love it.
I love that stuff. I love that stuff. Because
I know, and it's so hard to date. Like,
I know. When do you send the dick pic? It's one of the biggest questions in dating now. It's like third date now. I don't want to be too much prude, so maybe like second date. I don't know.
I just feel like it's so screwed up for people that are like in their 20s and 30s. It's really effed up.
Oh, yeah. Guys are throwing. I was with a girlfriend of mine maybe 2 weeks ago. She was at the bar, and she was telling me about a guy she met, and they had a brief interaction at the bar, like enough to where she felt comfortable give him her number, and then later that night he texted her, hey, what are you getting into tonight, like want to come over and smoke a joint and take a bubble bath? And I was like, she was like, we barely like talked, and she's like, but I felt like we had enough rapport, but like definitely not bubble bath rapport, like within 24 hours. I go, guys gotta stop throwing the Hail Mary on first down, like just fucking getting some sort of a fucking moment to score, and then they're just like, I'm going for it. It's like,
you know what, I think that for a lot of guys, they've never had the challenge that like guys when I was dating did, which is like, can I get this girl's number? Mm-hmm. I would like to take her out on a date. Oh my God, will she say yes to the date?
Yeah.
Like, and now we're on the date, and right. now I'm actually we actually like each other. So and
now
there's
I'm not
like there's
fuck this
like,
up
there is a thing with guys where yeah. you know there was this book that came out in the 90s that was called The Rules, and part of it wouldn't apply to today because you can't like not answer a text for 3 days. But it was that kind of rule, like let the it wasn't don't call him back for 3 days, but it was like he has to ask you out for Saturday night by a certain day. Mm-hmm. And like stick to those rules and just say, I'd love to, I just have plans. Like just be busy. And I got the book and the first person I did it to was my husband.
Wow. No kidding.
It fucking
wow.
worked.
Wow.
And it was hard because you like someone and you have to be like a little bit. And I, you know, and I remember
yeah, play a little hard to get.
He didn't ask me out for Friday night or whatever it was, but we were dating, but we hadn't like said I love you or anything. And had you
said it like practice to like a pillow or something?
No, but I mean, I was just like, but I liked him a lot. Yeah, mm-hmm. So I got invited to this like charity thing. It was like the Bachelor Ball or whatever. And all these people that went to SC would go to it like around like in your late 20s, you'd go. And he called me and he's like, so what do you want to do tonight? You want to see a movie? You want to come over? You want to go to a movie?
Do you want
a
Blockbuster and chill?
Yeah, it was Blockbuster days back then. And so I was like, oh, I actually have this charity event to go to. And I knew he would know people. And he was like, oh, shit. You know, she's going yeah. on. This. And so I went on the thing and I made out with a guy, but I sent him away and I went to bed by myself. And at like 7 a.m., he was calling me. He's like, want to go to breakfast? Like, he was totally like Whoa. Freaking out
well,
all
cause,
night.
Well, because now he knows like, oh, shit. Yeah. Like, if I don't lock this down.
Yeah, lock it down. And so he was yeah. in sales. So it was like, you have to give a guy like that challenge, that competitiveness. And I right. feel like...
Well, now you don't have to do
you can't
do that anymore because now it's like if the woman doesn't give that guy exactly what he wants in the exact way he wants, he goes, all right, I'm just gonna go on Tinder and swipe and now find it or try or
I want to change the next generation.
Yeah.
I feel
you gotta get rid of phones.
I don't know. I like you know, I keep saying I'm like to these girls, but listen, like I'm going to raise non-rapists. I'm going to raise guys that take you out on dates. Yeah. Like, I'm really going to try hard. I don't know if I can, but I'm going to try because I'm like, it's like, I think people are missing out.
Well,
and yeah, you're not having relationships. And I talked about it on my show the other day and I got a little bit of hate of some girls. One girl said, you're absolutely right. I love my boyfriend. I know that's not a feminist thing to say nowadays.
What?
This is horrible.
What do you mean?
Like, I'm just
you're
like,
allowed to love your boyfriend?
Like, it was literally
it's okay.
Like she goes, I know. She said, she goes, I'm happier being in a relationship than I was single. And I know that's not a feminist thing to say. And I was like, this is what is happening.
Oh,
and it's wrong.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you doing? Like, they're half the population. Like, we yeah. shouldn't hate them.
No.
You know, like,
just
what is
like
going
saying,
on?
Just like saying I'm happier with a girlfriend or my fiance or a wife or whatever is I'm happier with that person than being single. That's not like an anti-dude thing to say.
Yeah,
it's
I didn't
masculine.
I go, Brad, dude, you fuck you bet on us. Dude.
Yeah.
There's marry? A bro code, man. You fucking bros before hoes. I thought forever.
Yeah, man. What's
not
up?
Just till we're 15.
Right. Like, I think, like, you know, and I remember reading something where someone said, you know, girls are sometimes the worst for other girls because the minute they do anything, like, what did he say?
Yeah.
Kick him to the curb. God, girlfriend. Like, you, like, stop, like, cock blocking,
oh,
vagina
yeah.
blocking. Like, this wasn't, and that's why sometimes I also tell, like, my listeners, like, look, if you have a problem with your husband, or especially your husband, because you're committed for life, but, like, when you're mad at your person, like, think about who you're going to share it with.
Very much
so. Because if you, unless you're really ready to fucking file that day, be careful, because then they know about it, they talk about it, and then
when they see
they may
the
not,
person.
Then they maybe don't like the husband, yeah. then you, so it's like, sometimes I'm just like, who do I have? Sometimes it's just my mother-in-law, who's his mother, that I bitch about to hit her about him, and she's
great. How much?
She loves me. She totally agrees with me.
How much, daily, like, this is a two-part question.
Yeah.
My sister and her husband now are, I think, what, 2 years into being married?
Uh-huh.
And they have 4 kids, 6 every other weekend, because he has 3 from 2 different moms.
Oh, okay. God,
and
I was like,
they had one
I was
together.
Just thinking, how did they have that
my
many
kids? My sister came in with my my 2 twin nieces, and then they had a boy together, and then he had 3 different from 2 different moms. But they have custody of 1. So 4
Jesus.
All the time.
Okay. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
It's a little Brady Bunch situation.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
And two Filipino boys that just make cake and they live in a basement. So,
So they,
you know, it's a lot. And they have their good days and their bad days. And they still have not gotten into couples counseling, which I think is imperative. But, like, what do I know?
I don't.
I don't.
No.
But there's times when my sister and they both will vent to me. And, like, that's just the role, like, I assume. Like, it's the role. I peer mediated between my mom and sister when I was, like, eight. Like, it's,
yeah.
I did it with my girlfriends. It's just I come to the rescue. But after I got to a point where I told both of them, I go, I don't want to be in the middle anymore. Everything you're telling me, you just need to tell the other person. But I guess my question is, how much arguing is healthy? And this is also a precursor for Brad, who's just got engaged.
Yep.
How much debating, discussing, arguing is healthy and normal? And what do you do? Obviously, communication is key, but when you don't even have a down moment to do that, like, how are you supposed to go about it?
I mean, I think there's good years.
We'll be right back. So, Heather, I'm sorry.
I think there's good years and bads, and there's ups and downs. And because my husband had a daughter, I felt like we had to get to, like, a lot of unpleasantries early on. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, we knew finance, everything that we didn't have those blissful first couple years because there was custody issues and, you know, evaluations. And because we, you know, we were trying to get custody. Now we have custody, but at the time we were trying, we didn't succeed. And then
he's debating on if he's going to bring this woman into his life with his daughter. So I'm sure it all has to be on the table.
It was just all, that part was, like, very, so, but we were, we were together. Like, we didn't fight about that. It was just stressful. And then throughout the years, I definitely look back and we're in, like, a good place right now. But, like, there were a couple years in there with, like, my parents dying and stuff. It just wasn't great. Like, you were just, I don't think it was, and I was like, God, you would have never talked to me like this 6 years ago. Like, I would think back, or we'd go by my old house, and I was like, shit, I think I was a lot happier, you know, with that part of the marriage. Like, I'm happier in my career and everything.
Yeah.
But now I'm, like, really happy. But I just, like, that's why in my act, I joke so much about just, like, powering through. And then there's times when then you get to a certain place where you're like, well, now I really don't want to get divorced. Like, there's times where you fantasize about it, and then you're like, I mean, the grossest guy hit on me, the grossest, when I was in DC, and he didn't know who I was.
Yeah.
So he came up to my opener and I, and she's an attractive married mom too, and so he's like in a suit and tie, but we're at this college bar because that's where my friend wanted to go, and he's like, well, you two are the most attractive women here, you know?
Oh,
and I just looked at him and I was like, that's who I'd have to go out with? Like, I don't, I mean, is that what would
be? Is that what's out there?
I don't know. Yeah. And so then these other people in this bachelorette party are, like, taking pictures with us. So then he's like, who are you? And I have these little cards. So I'm like, here, this is my podcast. Come. And then Kate is like, go to our show in DC, like, whatever. So then I get this email today, and he's like, I don't want you to think I'm a stalker.
Yikes.
But
says
I did.
The stalker.
I didn't go to your show, but I did listen to your podcast, and you're very funny and very interesting. So then I told Peter about it, and he's like, looks at what the guy's email. He's like, what does he do? And I go, I didn't say what the fuck. I said, he was gross. I just said he was gross.
Yeah.
I was just saying, like, I still get hit on. They're not attractive. It's not great. Like, I mean, I think if I died, my husband would do a lot better than I would do if he died.
I disagree.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, if my husband dies, I'm just out to, like, I'm just ready to go on, like, a fuck fest. I just want to date young guy.
Yeah.
I don't want anyone old and rich.
No.
I just want someone young.
Yep.
And just ready to bone and, like, just, you know.
Who stretches.
Yeah. But I don't want to get divorced. I would like to. I don't mind being a widow. I just don't want to get divorced.
Well, sure. Because then you get that sympathy stuff.
Yeah, and you don't have to deal with all that ugliness.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's just so ugly. I just ugh.
No, but no, when no one asks.
Fighting,
yeah,
like,
no one asks, like, what went wrong.
Yeah.
If you're a widow, they know. Heart attack, car accident, cancer, like,
how
whatever.
How long have you and your girlfriend been together?
2 years.
See that? And when's your wedding?
Probably August, but we're still planning the date.
That's good. I think that's okay.
You said it was gonna be on my birthday weekend.
Yeah. What?
do you know that there was a study that said that if you get married within, like, that amount of time, like, you're doing meeting, getting engaged, and getting married, you have a better success rate.
Yeah.
Oh, hey.
People that
I was nervous for a minute.
No,
I was like, why would you say that?
No, that people like that go really
They kill themselves in the first 5 years. So what you're saying, Brad, is you're screwed. So maybe just want to swallow that shotgun right now and just kind of get it over with.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. But I think like when you've been together for eight,
right.
Engaged for three, you're so sick of each other by the time you get married. Like, you do kind of need to bite the bullet and then like have the bigger part of your life be after marriage. And so
right.
I think
it's like if you've been dating for 8 years and then engaged for 3 years, that means you've been together, I think, according to the math, 11 years.
Yikes.
And then it's like, marriage is what then? You've been together 11 years.
So you think
what's special about that?
No, I'm saying, look, every situation can work out. I mean, there's people that are like, exceptions come up to me like, we've been married for 23 years. I'm like, how old are you? We met at 15. I'm like, it can work.
Yikes.
I'm not saying it can't. I'm just saying someone might think that seems short to them now, that like it's so early, so going so quickly into marriage. But I don't think so. But I look back at my wedding video. We just watched it for the first time with my kids. Like, I hadn't watched it in years.
Wow.
And I was like, I did not even fucking know you. I'm looking at it because we met in January. We were engaged by December. So not even a year.
11 months.
And then got married that following May.
Wow.
So it was like a year and a half. So I was like, wow. And we never fought. The one time I remember we went to like visit where our place was that we were going to have our rehearsal dinner. And I was like, well, let's get a glass of wine after. And he was like, no, I want to go to bed. I'm tired. And I was like, oh my God.
It's starting.
I can't believe you're talking to me like that.
The beginning of the end.
That was the harshest thing
I know.
That he had said to me. And I was like, oh my God. Yeah. So when people say they go to couples counseling and all this stuff before getting married, I'm like, good freaking luck. Like, you know, so
you think there's value in getting to know each other as you're I mean, obviously live together because that's
like,
a big deal.
Like, go through a holiday, meet all the relatives,
go on a trip together.
Yes, go on a trip together, pack together. Have like a couple things happen that are stressful and see
also
how
watch
each
like
other
a movie
deals.
That like, you know, like 12 Years a Slave, just to see if one person like starts laughing halfway through and you're like, okay, deal breaker.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, I think it's good to know that type of stuff. And then we got married in the church, so we had to go to like this an 8-hour class.
Oh, okay.
That's, yeah.
Catholic then.
Yes, Catholic. Yeah, okay.
Explain to the Jew the ways of the non-Jew wedding.
Some
priest just has to go, you're not going to kill each other. Like, essentially, right?
No. You go to this...
no? Okay.
You go to this 8-hour thing.
This has been Brad Fucks Up Catholicism on the About Last Night podcast. We'll be right back.
So you have to go to this 8-hour thing. Now, we went like a day of like traffic school, but my sister and her husband went to like the retreat.
Oh boy.
And she married a Beverly Hills Jew. She's Shannon Goldstein, so he's a real saint, even though he's Jewish.
Good.
He went to this freaking thing. And my husband was like, no, we're doing the 8-hour down the street. And I
what?
Was like,
but you can't have a successful marriage without doing a ropes course in the woods. Everyone knows that. You gotta do trust falls and ropes courses.
I don't think they did that.
And
I think
balloon
it was like...
lightsaber fights. Everyone knows that.
Yeah. So we do this thing, and he goes, the guy starts talking about debt, you know, and like, you should not go into the marriage with debt. And I was like, well, I've got some debt, you know. I did
student loans.
Oh my God, I didn't have student loans, but I had groundlings loans. I had headshots, wigs, things that I needed
wigs
that
are
I
very
put
expensive.
On credit cards and stuff. So I had $18,000 in credit card debt. And so you're supposed to write down your stuff. And I look over at his, and it's like, he owns his condo. He's always had his shit together.
Yeah.
He owns his condo, and it's like, this is what his mortgage is. This is what his car payment is. And like, the rest was zero, like no debt, nothing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, and they're like, now you have to share it in the group or whatever. So people are with it. Oh. So that gets to me. And I just start like crying. And I'm like, you try making it this down. I had to put acting classes on these cards. And I was like, what?
Oh,
and then he's
shit.
Like, it's okay. And so then we got married. He's like, okay, listen, every check you get, just pay off this credit card. He's like, don't give me any money. Just pay off your credit cards. And then we've never had credit card debt since, because he is good like that. But I hear I was crying. So then you go to another thing and you meet this other couple. You really like share your feelings. That's when I decided I was going to share our issues with his daughter and the baby mama and use it like a counseling session.
Mm-hmm.
That was a mistake, because that Monday I was at my writing job. We met with this couple on Friday, and this is like my childhood church where I was baptized and everything. And she calls and she's like, hey, Heather, it's Susie. How are you, honey? Well, we could not sleep all weekend. We've been praying about you guys, and we just absolutely think that you should not marry Peter. We do not think you should meet him.
Holy shit.
We do not think you should meet him. We've never done this in our years of counseling people. We have called Monsignor Loftus, and we said we could not give our blessing.
What?
Now, I know that you've probably put money down and everything, and it's like a month away.
God.
It's like a month and a half away, and
wow.
I go,
you don't take any of that in.
I said, first of all, I'm so sorry that you stressed about it, because I knew exactly how to answer the questions. I just thought, let's freaking cry, like, let's have a juicy night. Like, let me tell you what I'm freaking out about. And so they were freaked out that he had a child, and that, you know, there was drama with that. And they're like, I just think you've got everything to win, and he's, you know, you've got everything to lose, and he has, you know, everything to gain. And I said, I'm really flattered that you think I'm this happening, but I'm really not. Like, this is by far the nicest, most good guy I've ever dated. And like, if I don't marry him, he had this expedition at the time, and I said, I just know I'm going to see some bitch in that front seat in like a year, I'm going to really regret it.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I think I do want to lock this down. I really like him. Like, I'm really in love with him. And so, but the first thing I did was call him and tell him that nobody wants me to marry you.
So step your game up, fool.
And then to this day, like, if she ever sees us at church, and he doesn't go to church that often, but a few times he does, she'll see us and she'll start like crying tears of joy. Like, she's just
amazing.
I'm so happy that you guys are still together.
You made it.
You were wrong. And I was like, oh my God, who has this happen? But my son said, he goes, I talked to all my friends, and everyone's parents dated a lot longer than you and Dad did. And I go, well, do you think I rushed into it? And he goes, I think you probably would have ended up together, but yeah, I think you probably rushed into it. I was like,
thank you, Dr. Phil, Children's Edition.
I know. And then one time my stepdaughter, she was really, they were like in an argument about something, and I'm on the road and she's texting me, and I'm like, Mackenzie, just stop. Just, you're cutting off nose to spite your face. You're being rude to your dad. Just go in your room. It's going to be fine. Just like, stop it. You know, I'm like, and then she goes, all I can say is, great choice in men, Mom. And I'm like, it's your father I married.
Like, great choice in men.
I'm like, you little bitch. Like, what are you talking about?
My picker ain't broken. Before we wrap this up,
yes.
we do need to get some Chelsea Lately stories, or we do need to talk about Chelsea,
because
just, I mean, amazing show.
I was on it twice, so I know everything that went down. No, but I'm very curious.
Yeah, and a show that pretty much became, in a way, the closest thing we had to Johnny Carson in terms of breaking comics.
Totally.
It was so good for stand-ups. I don't think there's been anything else like it.
There hasn't.
Midnight, that's a great show and people have fun being on it, but I don't...
No, it's popular. It's not cutting through the...
I think it was, what was great about our show is that when she would choose, people would become regulars on it,
mm-hmm.
and some of us being also staff writers, but then we had other people that were regulars like Joe Coy, and that were not staff writers.
Tosh Leggero,
Bobby Lee.
Caparulo,
yes.
Lonnie Love, and these are all people that did other things, but really shot to the next level of popularity because of Chelsea.
But we would pick topics, because I would produce the shows. We'd pick topics that could get to a place where you could tell a personal story. And I think that's what broke the comics, is because you got to know, you knew that Lonnie was, you know, single and, you know, had this career before becoming a comic. You knew that Josh Wolf had kids. You knew that Joe Coy had a son. You knew that I was married and that, you know, I was a sorority girl who was Catholic or whatever, because I would bring that up. You knew that Brad was Jewish and married. And like, you'd start to know about the people. And I think like on these other shows, like Midnight and stuff, it's clever and it's jokes, but you're not getting to know.
You're not invested.
You're not knowing the comics. So it's like, that's what I love about the podcast, because by comics having podcasts, that's one way people really get to know you. They're not, even if you do a set on a show or whatever, they don't know who you are. And so when I started doing the podcast, people were like very surprised. They're like, God, I did not know you at all. You were on the show for 7 years. But yeah, I'm like, yeah, I'm on the panel for 10 minutes talking about little things. You're not going to know who I am. And I was an exaggerated version of myself on After Lately. So it wasn't really me. And so I don't think any show. And unfortunately, I think there's really a loss for that show, because I have people that, you know, that really loved it, and they're not, they didn't really find something to replace it, you know,
because they tried to, right?
Like,
I mean,
not really. What do you mean? Chelsea show now?
Well, the Caitlyn Jenner show, wasn't that kind of, I'm done with that joke. But like, they were looking for some sort of a panel show replacement. But you,
I guess they haven't, none of them made it, or they didn't last, or it's just, yeah.
So you were writer, producer, and
I was there from day one.
That's incredible. Yeah. What was the
vibe? We didn't have three comics in the beginning. It was going to be Chelsea, like one E reporter, and then one comic, and then one, like what we'd call, like, you know, stunt casting, like some, like a biling, like some weird person. Then we're like, that's throwing off the conversation. Get rid of the freak. That's just like, and so then we had two comics and a comedy, a e-reporter.
And then the comics would just bury the e-reporter.
Well, we would tell the e-reporter or the entertainment reporter, we'd go, look, just add more information to the story.
Right,
but then they would want to be funny.
Oof.
So then we're like, we don't really need that. We're giving all the information.
Yeah.
So we had the three comics, and then, you know, and it was then she really shined when she was with her friends and got to, you know.
Being that you were there from day one, was there a moment? Was there a specific moment where you're like, "Oh crap, we have something here"? Or maybe,
I mean, when
realize,
I started, I was like, my youngest son was a year and a half, and I felt very guilty about getting a full time job. But I was like, well, it'll only last 13 weeks. That was how long it was. I'm like, and then, but at least I have something, like maybe something else can come from it.
Yeah.
And I had just gotten back into stand-up like 6 months prior. I had not done it for
perfect
like seven
timing.
Years. So
what
I,
made you want to get back into it?
Last Comic Standing. Watching Last Comic Standing made me, and then I was like, oh my God, I haven't done it in so long. Do I have to do like, do I take a class? Do I do like a one-woman show?
7 years
do
is
I,
a nice
I didn't
break.
Know what, and then all of a sudden the next day, Lisa Sunstedt called me and was like, I haven't talked to you in so long. I can't believe you quit stand-up. And I'm like, did I quit? And she's like, well, it's been 7 years. I'm like, I guess I did, but I didn't really like officially quit.
Yeah.
I just wasn't a regular. And after I got married, I felt guilty about inviting people to my shows that I didn't invite to my wedding. I swear to God. Because I was still doing
reason.
Bringers. I was still doing bringer shows.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, how do I call? And so then I just kind of got a little bit lazy. And then I had other jobs and things. And then I had babies. And I didn't miss it at all. I did not miss it. I loved not knowing about everybody getting a deal. You know, like I love not coming out of the club and hearing what everybody's doing that I'm not. So I kind of liked it. And then when I started watching Last Comic Standing, I was like, oh my God, it got me so excited. And
looked fun.
Yeah. And then she called me, and then she's like, well, I have a show in a month or whatever. You want to do it? You know, it's 10 minutes. And I just like wrote a whole new act and like practiced it on my sister.
7 years of shit to
Ian Edwards is my friend. And so I like called him and I tested my stuff out
the
on
best.
Him. And then I had like a pretty decent first set, and then I just kept building from there. And then I heard Chelsea was going to do her show, and it was going to be every night. And so we were doing shows together, and I knew her cadence and how she, her jokes and stuff. So I'm like, can I write a package? And I think, like, I always tell people like this, like, I think she was like a little surprised that I would want to be a writer on the show, because it was the kind of things that we were all going out for the same stuff. Sarah Colonna, me, Natasha. So I don't think it occurred to her to like reach out to other female comics. Hey, do you want to write on my show?
In the acting TV world, you're saying.
Yeah. So okay. I think she kind of was like, oh, okay. You know, and then, you know, I liked all the same stuff she did. The pop culture. It's, you know, and so I always tell people, like, make sure someone knows you want the job. They're not going to reach out to you.
No.
Or they may have forgotten about you. So if your friend has a job or a show or something, let them know, like, I'm a fan, and I would love to submit. And because sometimes you think, oh, that person's an actor, or that person is on the road, and no, they're dying to get off the road, and they're a really funny writer, and they want to do something. So that's how it came about.
Wow. Did you? I mean, just as fun at the first few weeks must have been kind of not as stressful, because you're not really.
Yeah, we didn't know.
There's no pressure yet, right? But then once there must have been a moment when, like, I don't know. I always envision like somebody coming in and being like, "We got the reviews, the ratings are in." Like, but was there like a night or an episode? You know, it was like Hugh Grant on Leno that took things up a notch. Was there like some interview or some?
I mean,
joke
I remember
that
like
foul,
that.
Or?
I was on the third show,
okay.
And that weekend I was at the mall, and this girl's like, oh my God. And this had happened to me a few times in my career, where like if you're on something the night before, someone would recognize you. And so she's like, oh my God, you're on Chelsea Lately, and that's the funniest show. And though I went into Chelsea's office and I told her, and she was like shaking. She like got chills. She like couldn't believe it. So like I think
wow.
we didn't really, and then it it just became such a fun, it was so fun. And then it really became, then we purposely, then once I was on the show and doing stuff, then they searched for other writers that could also act and want to be on TV.
Yeah.
So then we had our own little kind of crew and it was great. You know, it was just really, it was really fun, but it would get competitive too.
Yeah,
sure.
Which is healthy, right? I mean,
healthy, but I wish
less.
If I could go back, I wouldn't have been so concerned with that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's like
just kind of taking the moment.
Taking the moment. I remember, like, we were taping after Lately, and everyone was very irritated by the third season because we would do the show, and then we would do the tape the show at night, and they wouldn't. The EP at the time wouldn't let us like start getting ready, even though our show was done. She's like, "No, you have to sit in your office until 6 o'clock with nothing to do." I'm like, "Can I at least get in makeup? Like, I know how production works. Like, I can save these people some time and money if I can get my makeup done at 5. We can start filming at 6." It was just ridiculous, and it was like there was a lot of like a little bit of weird jealousy and stuff, and so I was like, this is lame. And so people would be tired and irritated. And I just remember going, we're on a freaking TV show, like playing ourselves. Yeah. We know it wasn't a lot of money, but it was like for TV, but it was amazing. It was fun. And I'm like, so I always have been like, anytime some sweaty mic guy comes to put a mic on me, I always go, Heather, this might be the last time you're ever mic'd up. Mm-hmm. Enjoy that cold mic.
Wow.
And going that guy's breath.
Yeah.
And those cargo shorts. Fucking enjoy it.
Yeah, soak it up.
So, I was looking around, like, you know, to complain about that. It's like, come on.
So, that show came from the success of the Chelsea Lately, right? So, like,
yeah.
And I mean, and getting to do the road and having people come. I mean, that's to me seems
I mean,
like
it was really, really fun. And I did cherish it, and I did know that type of situation wasn't going to last forever.
Yeah.
I didn't know what would happen for me after, but I was like, hey, I mean, I was like, if this is the best that it gets, pretty great fucking life. But I think being married and having kids, I mean, when there's been lulls in my career, it's like, okay. Like, I'm like, I don't have a kid at Children's Hospital. You know, my kids are healthy that's all that matters, you know.
Yeah,
and I think sometimes when that's all you have, sometimes it can really bum you out when something doesn't work out or you feel like it's slipping away. And it's like, what's so great about being comics and writers is that it's not like, you know, I always just look at Joan Rivers and I'm like, I want to be Joan Rivers. I don't want to be the mom comic. I don't want to be the pretty girl on E. Like, I just want to work forever. And we have that ability more than just when you're an actor. So it's like, I always just say, it's not a race, you know? Like, who knows what might be your thing?
Yeah.
And maybe it's already passed. This could be it for you, Adam.
I kind of feel like it is.
But hopefully
Mom,
it's
Mom, I'm coming
not.
Home for Thanksgiving and I ain't coming back. Yeah. I could talk to you for hours.
Yeah.
So could I. Yeah. I'm a delight.
You are. You got to come back sooner than later.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. We'd love to have you back. Thank you, guys.
But we do want to send people to Netflix to see your stand-up special.
You can see my stand-up special.
I don't mean to brag.
Yes.
So check that out. Listen to the podcast.
Juicy Scoop.
You have we didn't even get into the books, which are fantastic. You'll never blue ball in this town again, which is a book about how you lost your virginity at 27.
Yes. Very old.
27.
But I have a lot of great dating stories.
And a lot of hand jobs. That's what we're trying to say.
Yes, exactly. A lot of dry humping, which is my favorite.
Don't underestimate dry humping.
I love dry humping.
I mean,
very hard to get your husband of 16 years to just dry hump. I mean, like, can I just rub one out to your jeans? Can we just turn on CNC Music Factor? I don't want to do anything more than that.
CNC Music Factor.
Very hard.
Wait, which song?
Everybody dance now. The only song by CNC Music Factor.
It's my favorite
Shots
song.
Shots fired.
Well, it looks like now we'll never get CNC Music Factor on the podcast, but oh well. Yes.
Yeah, my sister loves your books. She's a big fan.
Yeah.
If a dude were to read one of your books, which one would they start with or go to? Or are they all gender friendly?
They're gender friendly. I mean, and I think my act is definitely like gender friendly. Yep. Like I'm not male bashing at all. If anything, it's like I'm self deprecating. Yes, I talk about my husband, but it's more like just about marriage. And when you talked about counseling, we have never gone to marriage. We went to marriage counseling once for three times when my oldest son was like 1.5. And then after that, I would just threaten him with the counseling. So there I'd be go. Like, you're being a dick. We're going to go to counseling. Then I got to a place where I was like, fuck, we really need counseling. But then I thought, what if we go to counseling and I find out like he like secretly hates me? And because I had people go that some people go to counseling and it's like shit comes out that you can't take back. And then you are getting divorced.
Yeah.
And I'm like, we could just be going through kind of like a shitty few months.
Let's just ride this low out.
Ride it out.
Yeah. And then rather than blow the whole thing up.
I don't know if I totally believe in like all of that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like you said,
I just think works for whatever works for you.
Exactly. Yeah. Every case is different.
Yeah. So if you cheated on your spouse and went gay for 3 months behind their back, but now you're back in it and that comes out in counseling, well, maybe then counseling wouldn't be the best for you because then that comes out
yes.
and then your spouse can't forgive you for whatever. Yeah. But, you know, if it's like, I wanted the 1972 bottle of champagne and you got the 78. Counseling. Okay, no.
Yeah.
Let that one slide.
Then that happens, and then you're counseling, and you're like, I married such a fucking selfish bitch. Or such a, like, you don't, like, then you're like, oh my God, now I hate your character. Like, yeah. I can't yeah, get yeah, past
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Well, good, strong advice, and, listen to the podcast, watch the special, read the books. And,
go to my website. I have lots of dates coming up this year.
HeatherMcDonald.com.
It's HeatherMcDonald.net. Let's not get into it.
Yeah.
It's HeatherMcDonald.net. Just go there. All the dates are there.
Who
Chicago.
Took HeatherMcDonald.com? Brian Bobelman or whatever, the fucking thief? What's his name? Serial?
Oh, thief? Kirk Obermeier.
Brian Bobelman?
Brian Bobelman.
No, I don't know. And we tried, and it's like they wanted like $10,000, and I'm like, it's not worth it nowadays. No. Who cares? You just Google the name. It pops up anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, so it's cool that. To be one of the .NET kids, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who else has .NET?
Guess who has Hotmail still?
Who?
Me.
Heather McDonald?
Heather nice. Tobias.
Oh, that's your real name.
Heather Tobias is my married name.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Because this is how old I am. When I was dating Peter, my husband,
yep.
I didn't have an email. He set it up, and we were dating, and he made me Heather Tobias. That'll nice. Get you wet. That'll get you real wet. And I was like, I am never – so whenever I use that one, I have like several, but whenever I use that one, people are like, Hotmail. Like, I like get really nasty about it. And I'm like, well, it's still working. Like, why would I want to change that? This is what people have. They're trying to get a hold of me from like 3 years ago. Why would I change it?
No.
I love when people say Hotmail. Like, it's like – it's like you just said, well, there was a brief time when I joined the Third Reich. Yeah. Like, it's like, no, it's just an email account.
Yeah, I'm like, I have a Gmail too. Like, just relax.
It works.
It's not AOL. I mean, it's close, but it's not AOL.
Yeah, my fiance is at live.com. I don't even know what the fuck that is.
What?
But yeah, I don't know what live.com is.
So her, it's like something at live.com.
Yeah.
Oh.
And I'm like, I don't even know what that is, but sure, the email works. She gets it. Done. That's all.
Are you sure you want to marry this woman?
You know what? I think I need to go to counseling.
Have you done all the research?
I need to go to counseling.
Yeah, that'll be part two.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much, Heather.
Thank you, you guys.
So, that's the show. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, my
Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessime Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.